Before we get too far into this Fly Racing Racer X podcast, I want to thank the folks at Racetech, racetech.com, authorized service centers all across America. So you don't got to ship it to California if you don't want to. Every state will have an authorized service center, just about every state. From Racetech, racetech.com, you go to their website, you figure it out. Work with your local guy there. He knows what's going on. And yeah, thanks to the folks at Racetech, racetech.com. If you want to get your suspension oil changed, your bushings, seals, that kind of stuff serviced, tell them you listen to Pulp MX. They'll give you a discount. Racetech.com. All right, on to the show.
Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis.
Say that dedication to your frustration.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Fly Racing Racer X podcast. This is the Redbud MX review. Thanks for listening, everybody. Appreciate it. Fly Racing, 25 years of Fly. And, man, big things from those guys, whether it's the Formula helmets, whether it's the boots, whether it's the goggles, whatever it is, flyracing.com has got you covered head to toe. Formula helmet is maybe the pinnacle of their design department and art department and science department. Check out Formula Helmet online and all the features that they give you. It is an incredible helmet. Lightweight, quiet, safe. It's got the EPS. It's got EPS cone headed on it. It's got the Rion technology. Fly Racing, flyracing.com. Chance Hymus, Fly Guy. He's winning races. So thank you to the folks at Fly Racing for coming on board. Renthal as well. Mountain bike parks are now available at power sports dealers nationwide. So before, this has been a bicycle thing only. But now, whether it's carbon bars, aluminum bars, 33-millimeter, 35-millimeter stems, chain rings, grips, lock-on grips, and the flat pedals. They make these flat pedals as well. Check out Renthal.com for all of their bicycle products. They're really pushing those lately, and they're great products. I got them on all of my bikes. And then, of course, handlebars, sprockets, grips, right, all of that. Renthal.com, factory carry, Honda, KTM. Thanks to the folks at Renthal for coming on board the podcast, and Maxxis Tires as well. Freddie Norin, Cade Clayson, a bunch of riders using Maxxis Tires in Supercross and Motocross, developed by that McGrath guy. Maxxis.com, and they make light truck tires as well. They make trailer tires. Mountain bike tires are phenomenal. You should know all that. And please check out Maxxis.com for more information on that. Guys are great. So, yeah, and we'll tell you more about Motorsport.com later on in this show. But for now, here's JT and Weej and I talking Redbud and more. Thanks for listening. All right, everybody, let's talk some Redbud. Great race, and lots to get into when it comes to Redbud on the Fly Racing Racer X podcast. Joining me first up, he's the voice of the series, a big-time NBC guy, just like Bob Costas, and he's currently driving, but the audio sounds okay. It's the Jason Wygan. What's up, Weej?
Yeah, thanks for jinxing it there, Steve, on the audio.
Yeah, sorry. Well, I was happy that you came to see us in the media tent this weekend. But I realized it was only because I had, like, your rock form case thing, so.
It's 2-for-1.
Oh, boy.
I saw you chatting with Mitch Payton, and what happened?
Oh, you're back. You're fine.
You jinxed it already?
Nah, yeah, you were.
You jinxed it already?
No, you're back. You're fine.
I saw you talking to Mitch Payton. Came over. We wanted to talk Unadilla 93.
Yeah.
You know, this is what we do the day of the race. We want to talk about a race from 40 years ago. Nothing to do with anything happening on the actual race that we're covering that day.
No.
And one thing led to another, and we hung out in the morning, and someone even took a picture of us hanging out.
Yeah, like friends that we are. It's great for you, because it's proof that you do hang out with the lowly media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do hang out with the media, I do.
Also on the line from Fly Racing, flyracing.com, the official gear of Chance Hymus. Jason Thomas, what's up, JT?
Not too much. Great weekend, Steve. I'm happy you can make it to a race again. Yeah, it's good. It was good to have you around. I know you don't get out so much anymore.
Oh yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, sounds good. I was 15 of 17 Supercrosses, bro.
Oh, now we're skipping Supercrosses too?
No, I'm just saying I went to 15 of 17. Like, that's pretty good.
I don't remember. It needs to be 17.
Okay, sorry. I've never done the whole season, ever, ever. As a mechanic, media guy, ever. Always missed the race.
Are you bragging or are you
No,
conceding defeat?
No, just saying, just commenting. Never, all these years, never did the whole circuit. Lots to get into when it comes to Red Bud. Chance Hymus winning, Chase Sexton winning. First up, I sent a text to Tim Ritchie, one of the owners of Red Bud, and I just asked him, why do you keep screwing up the leap? And he never replied, so I don't know what's going on. But great track, great crowd. I also told him how much money he made this weekend, too, because good God, it was packed. Great race, great day, great weather. Just stop screwing up the leap. You know,
you wonder why he doesn't respond to you. Those are the two texts you sent him.
Stop it. Like, it's we saw, like, you know.
What was wrong with it?
10 guys do it in 450s? What'd you say?
I mean, if a 250 can do it, I don't think there's a real problem.
Well, clearly there was.
Why?
Because, I mean, only 250 that did it was early in Moto 1.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that they screwed it up. It was that the corner before it was so soft because of the mud Friday night. I don't think that you can blame track building for it, a deluge on Friday several times.
I mean, they have dozers. They have tractors.
Yeah, they fixed it before the first moto. Like, I don't know, man. I don't buy into it. It's supposed to be easy. Like,
I'm not saying it needs to be easy. Just, yeah. You're saying
stop screwing it up.
Stop.
I don't subscribe to that.
Well, over the years, thinking. The corner has been hard and different, right? You know that. You agree with it. The corner has been set up differently. Some years, people never do it. It's gotten harder. He's built up the third one hugely. It's a signature jump on the circuit. It's just, I don't know. I think more guys need to do it. Weege, break the tie here.
Well, you know, I've always been on the record saying I like when there's elite sections and only elite guys can bust out to create separation. That's what I say every week.
Okay. All right. So you're fine with this then?
Elite? I mean, you're the one who always says you want sections that only a few elite guys can do.
Yes. In Supercross, yes. I like that. I do. Outdoor motocross, though, like,
you jam
all the fans over to the leap. You sell all the tickets. Those seats are probably premium viewing. And we got 3 250s doing it three times all day. I don't know, man. I just want more leap. I want more leap. I want Stu did it on 125. So whatever you got to do to make it same as when Stu did it on 125, just do that. I don't know. I like to see more guys jump it.
I guess it'd be better if more jumped it than didn't, but I do like to keep it within the balance of where it is a bit of a some do it, some don't, because that's a really interesting. I mean, the view when you see one guy jump it and not is just spectacular. And if everybody jumped it, I think to get the balance right where it's like 75%, that's got to be tough to get it like that. That would be ideal. So in this case, we got, what, a 20%, a 15%?
Yeah, I like it so, like, most of the 450s jump it and then five or six 250Fs jump it. Perfect mix.
Yeah, you're asking a lot, man. You're asking a lot of track building, weather to cooperate. That's really tough.
Well, I'll let you know when Tim gets back to me.
Yeah, I hope he never responds.
No, maybe he will. He will, because I have something he needs.
Oh, maybe get him on a three-way call with that Sexton call you're going to get.
Yeah, good point. I'm waiting on that still. All right, great weather again, and like I said off the top, man, I don't know if you guys got a chance to look around, but it was packed. There was a lot of people there.
Did you go by the podium ever?
Yeah, well, I stood in the tower and watched it. Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. It was amazing, but it was chaos. I've never and I know Weege, you talked to DeCoster. I don't think I've ever seen it like that. Like, Motocross of Nations was its own thing, but the podium wasn't like that because the podium was on the start straight. I think Motocross of Nations, when we won, had the potential. Had it not been raining, had it been a different setup, it could have been something like that. But at the National, I've never seen anything like that. I've never seen it that crazy ever.
It was impressive for sure. It's good to see everybody out, and I think the weather helped too. So it wasn't hot as balls and all that. So,
I mean, they definitely heard camping. Go ahead, Weege.
Weege.
Why though? Like what? I mean, that's awesome and amazing, but why now? Like that's what's the
maybe
impetus for something that was already unbelievably huge to be suddenly get another jolt?
Maybe the weather. Just it was great weather, right? Like I don't want to go and stand out there if it's going to be balls hot. My wife doesn't want to go. Blah blah blah. I don't know. Maybe
could be.
Maybe the weather was great. I did see the sign that said Deegan. Can you hawk Tua on this? So all right, cool. We're already there. We got Deegs and hawk Tua combining. So that was my favorite sign of the day.
Hey, well, yeah, thanks for watching Weed Show there, JT. The great Roger DeCosta was compelled to take out his smartphone, and yes, he has one. Who knew? Even Roger DeCosta was so overwhelmed by the scene at the podium, he felt he needed to take a video of this. And I'm like, wow, is that just because the crowd was so big or because you guys went 1-2 in the 450s?
Mm-hmm.
It was actually because he was proud of how many Trump signs there were in the crowd.
Oh, is that what he said?
That's what he said, yes. The man, everybody. The man.
I was talking to Raj on Friday. I flew with him, and I was talking to him about, like, flying in the old days, you know? And he was just, like, smoking and no security and just sit wherever you want, and planes were empty. Oh, to have Raj tell the old days of flying across the ocean, you know, like in the 60s and 70s. Yeah, it's pretty funny to hear.
Flying Pan Am.
Oh, yeah, Raj just telling all the stories. It was great. I didn't get to ask him. As soon as I got in my seat, I was like, oh, I should have asked him if he ever went on the Concorde. I bet you Raj has flown the Concorde.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
I would think so.
It's a weird route. Like, I feel like if you didn't live in London or Paris, you probably didn't take it, but maybe.
All right, lots to get into. So we talked about Sexton and Hunter and the title chase. Obviously, Jet being hurt. We did a Renthal reaction pod last week to that news. And, you know, we kind of talked about Weed, your favorite thing, Sexton and Hunter just going 1-2, 1-2, 2-1, you know, the rest of the way.
So you did not do that.
No, we didn't. But we were
talking
about, you know, it's going to be these two mano a mano. I think the day could have been totally different if Hunter hadn't crashed in Moto One. Those are the breaks. Obviously, he said he was feeling it, and it was a pretty bad crash, and he just got a fourth in Moto 2. But, yeah, Weege, I'll start with you. Like, definitely changed the course of the day. That fall right there changed everything. Sexton rode great. I'm not trying to take anything away from him, but he was probably going to get second in Moto 1, and then who knows what would happen in Moto 2. But as it is, he leaves with, you know, Chase puts 10 points on him.
Yeah, it's the classic thing, right? History is written by the winners. Like, if you're writing a headline or an old cycle news story from this race, or you're recapping or whatever, the whole story is Sexton goes 1-1, and that was the biggest margin anyone had in a 450 race this year in the second moto, and he takes over the point lead, and he wins at his home track, and it just totally looks like it's like, yep, that's it, Jet's out, he's stamped it, he's the best guy, he's going to dominate, and it completely... You completely forget about, yes, that was about as good as Hunter has been, I think. Sexton's been bad in some of these first motos, and Hunter's beaten him there. But Sexton, like, got to him. And then after a while, you're like, wait, I don't know if he's going to get him. And JT, I think on the podium, Sexton even said, like, I don't know where I was going to pass him. And then you just think about how different that day is. If Hunter Lawrence, if they just split motos, everything looks different.
Yeah, I mean, that was really Chase's comment to everyone, right? Because when these guys pull into that tent behind the podium, you know, like, the Coster comes up, then Ian comes up, then the mechanic comes up, then here his father comes up, his girlfriend comes up. Like, it's, you know, he has the same conversation like seven different times with people as they arrive to him. And the first comment I watched, because I kind of wanted to just get to me, that's the best snapshot of what they're truly thinking before they have to go on camera and, you know, talk about sponsors and whatever. And he said the same thing every time. He's like, it is impossible to pass. It's impossible to pass. So clearly, he felt like he was kind of stuck, right? So I don't think he thought like he was going to get him either. And I was trying to talk about this during the race. You know, Ricky and I had a little bit of a different opinion on it, but I always feel like this track is challenging to pass in any conditions because the lines always funnel to the inside. Like, if you can protect halfway down the straightaway, the inside's almost always the best line here. And it seemed like the softness of the racetrack just kind of furthered that a little bit. And if you were smart and knew where to go to protect, you weren't going to be able to do much about it. And Chase obviously was feeling that way after the first moto as well.
Do you guys, this takes me back. Someone told me that, I think Chase told me, that the layout was the same as last year. with the sand whoops, where you come out of the back, you come from the other side, you hit the leap, and then you do the sand whoops and hit the finish?
Yeah, that did start last year.
That started last year. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I said,
and by the way, I think the old way was better for passing.
Yeah, I heard a few people talk about how it was hard to pass, and they did also say it was because of the way the track was so soft and the way it shaped up.
Yeah, I think that's the majority of it.
Yeah.
Sorry. I think the softness of Redbud, that's been a thing where it gets one line forever. But I do think you did see some passes after the big table into the sand rollers and then the right after it before. You would see some passes there. And then the way it was laid out now, you really didn't see any. Like, they did both get around Hymus in the first 250 moto in the sand rollers. I think he was kind of just messing up. I think there was more passing with that layout. But the bigger problem, I think you're right, JT. In general, the track is soft and just goes inside.
Yeah, and I agree with you. The way it came off the connector table, and then if somebody could go down the far right side or up the inside and try to get a run on them in the whoops, with that really tight corner, it just made it so much more difficult to do much there. So, I think the section's fine either way, but passing specifics, it seemed like it was easier to make passes the old way.
Yeah, easy to, going back to the conversation with the front, like, again, Sexton wins, great job, 10 points, puts on Hunter, has the red plate. But it's easy to see a universe where they go 1-2-2-1, right? I mean, if Hunter doesn't fall.
Oh, I think Hunter had it done. And I was the one that was the whole moto talking about Sexton, you know, the second half of the race, fitness and all that. I believe that Hunter kind of had it dialed. I don't think Chase had a place to pass in mind. And it's one thing to get to his rear wheel, but if you don't have a place you can make a move, it's not going to do you much good.
Yeah. Good crash by Hunter. Like, good hit.
Yeah, it was a big one. Chase without that visor, I think that was a big factor too, because every time he got there, it was just like a tear-off fest. Mm-hmm. Like, he was just getting blasted by Roos.
Aaron Plessinger started off second in Moto 1 and then got dropped back to fourth and then really rode well in the second Moto to come up and grab it. AP rode really well. I talked to him after the race, and I'm like, you know, what'd you change? And he really didn't say much. He talked about the same thing as Sexton. He just got in a flow, started jumping bumps, started feeling better. So didn't really, you know, nothing changed so much from the first moto to the second moto. But like Hymus, AP's two motos were pretty different. But second overall for Aaron and Weege. Aaron Plessinger making the podium at Redbud. It's synergy. It's synergy.
It needed to happen. And JT, I feel like you were really trying to set that angle up. I mean, the fourth and the first moto wasn't great. We heard he was sick. It was dicey that he was going to be able to pull it off. And then it's like the moto gods are like, no, we will deliver this gift to this Redbud crowd. And JT, I feel like you were on that. You interviewed him before the second moto, like trying to will this to happen.
Yeah, I was hopeful. I don't really cheer for riders mid-race. But I was cheering for AP just because I knew what that scene would be like if he could get on the podium, and I'll be damned if he didn't deliver.
Yeah, he rode really well. Yeah, he mentioned that he's been sick or whatever. He was coughing up a bunch of stuff after Moto 1. So, but AP pulling through second overall. And, yeah, that just goes to show you, we each 2-1, 1-2s. It's really hard to do. So.
Yeah. Well, the other thing we have to talk about here is the tire choice. And also, good job on that, JT, to notice that Hunter had switched to the knobby instead of the scoop. And, he even said in the press conference, you know, hindsight's 20/20, he's not going to be super mad about it. But it wasn't the right call.
Yeah, I got lucky there. I happened to see it, and it caught me by surprise because I did not expect it at all. And it was just he and Dustin Cooper that really made the change. I think Ferrandis maybe too, but as far as like the guys that were kind of up front. And I was just like, I was trying to walk through the thought process. There's a few minutes kind of before the moto where really nothing going on for me. Weege and RC are kind of going through things, talking about highlights. So I was walking through the pros and cons of choosing that tire. And, you know, I understood the reasons why they would go to it. If it got harder and the base had, you know, at the bottom of the ruts, there was a hard base, maybe they would have more grip and feel more comfortable. But, man, if you don't get the start and if you're wrong, the penalty for being wrong is really, really heavy. And I always look at it this way. You know, if you get down there and you're iffy on the tire choice, right, which I don't think it was like a no-brainer for them. I think they were wondering about it and they decided to go with it. If you get down there
and everybody else is kind of stuck with that scoop tire, and you and Justin Cooper are kind of the only ones that have made that move, I think you have to second-guess the decision a little bit, because I look at it this way. If you're wrong and everybody else on the scoop tire, you're in a world of hurt, because you're wrong for one, and you're up against everyone else who's right. If you're on the fence and you just say, you know what, everybody's going scoop, let's go scoop, because for one, it's going to be better on the start, and if we are wrong, we're all going to be wrong together, and I can live with that, right? Then it just becomes who can manage the situation a little bit better. And like Hunter said, in hindsight, it's really easy to make these decisions, but it was a curious call. It just didn't happen to work out this time, and I think the most penalizing part of this whole thing was, for the first time pretty much all season, Hunter wasn't able to get that, you know, dominating start, and I think it really set him back in a moto where he wasn't 100% and he really needed that start.
You wonder how much the tire guys tell Dunlop, you know, who supplies all the tires to everybody. Mm-hmm. You wonder how much the Dunlop guys tell the other teams of what the other teams are doing. You know, they tell us that these tires are developed individually. You know, a Honda tire is a little different from a Cowie tire. I'm not so sure I believe that. But I do wonder if there's a sort of a veil of secrecy of, like, you know, I'm not going to tell Honda what Cowie's doing and vice versa. You know, I'll give you my recommendations, you know.
But. Yeah, but you're down there with plenty of time is the thing. Like, these guys, they change. I've seen them change wheels.
Oh, yeah, when they get down there. Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I just wonder if they go, hey, is everybody changing, you know? And no, it's not. I don't know. I wonder how that works, because I could see both sides.
I talked to Darren Lawrence about it after the podium, and he was just like, we just 100% got it wrong, period. Yeah. We didn't get the start. We couldn't get the drive out of the corners. And we were just 100, you know, just dead wrong. And I was thinking about it after. I think maybe they had a chance to be more right, but some of the sections that they had worked on, they pushed that mud back into play. So you weren't down to the base in a lot of the sections I think they were expecting it to be. And there was just kind of like that softer dirt, almost similar to High Point, where you needed that scoop tire for drive.
But Hunter did say that he was feeling it from that crash, you know, as far as, for sure.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's all the tire. Yeah. But it was, I think all of them were pointing to it after going, we missed that call. That was the wrong call.
It's odd that they would do that, yeah, because the track generally was softer from people I talked to and the way it looked, too. Like, it was not a hard pack at all, you know, because of the rain, because of the way the prep, everything else. So,
Jason. Steve, I know your theory on these Honda starts is that the bike does it all. So you might need to ask Lars, the Bluetooth radio-controlled car device that he uses from the manager's tower to control these starts.
Well, it's not necessarily...
It didn't work with the Navi.
Yeah, it's not necessarily something that I think, but the Mandarin thinks that, yes.
The Mandarin.
The Mandarin does.
Okay.
So that's his something.
That they radioed in from Japan via satellites the starts?
Yeah. Well, you know, they have the F1 teams. They have guys in simulators back at the headquarters in Europe, you know, racing the race and communicating with the teams on what's going on. Like the backup drivers and stuff. So it's just that. It's just easy like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. They just didn't have it dialed for the Navi.
Yeah. Yeah. They just, Lars probably forgot to turn the switch from Navi to paddle on the little box. Yeah. People probably think we're serious too, but Jason Anderson, fourth overall, 5-3 on the day. And yeah, count me. He led some laps in Moto 2, and count me as surprised that Hunter wasn't able to get him. But he rode really well, 5-3 on the day for Anderson. And he's just one of those guys that'll, like, he's not winning this championship, but he's just going to pop up every now and then. He's really good at Washougal also, and he's going to make life hard and grab some podiums. You know, I think we all look at AP and Cooper as the next guys, right? But he'll be in the mix.
Well, I think these guys are sensing the opportunity. Right. They're all you can only give 100%. Right. We all know that. But I think they all see the situation, jets out, and just de facto, there's an open spot on the podium every week now. Right. And I'm sure they all wanted it before, but it's there to be had. And these guys, if they're not doing every possible thing they can to secure that final spot, like every little detail, I think they're doing it wrong, because that's it. Before, they were kind of locked out. You hate to say that. You hate to say the races are decided before the gate drops, but it really felt that way. It felt like we had three guys and then everybody else, and now we have an open spot, and all these guys are going to be fighting for it week in and week out.
I guess he's got a bad shoulder, too, Weege. Have you heard a little bit of that, too? Heard his shoulder at Southwick?
And Anderson?
Yeah, he's got a little bit of an injury.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. So, got an injury to the shoulder that he's fighting through a little bit. Justin Cooper, I think he fell twice in Moto 2. For sure, once. I think he fell twice. 3-6 on the day for Cooper. And again, talk about that tire. He didn't get his start in Moto 2.
No, he did get a start.
In Moto 2?
He did get a start.
Did he?
Yeah. He was in second place.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, sorry. I was thinking the first Moto was. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then just kind of, I think he fell twice.
He fell right off the bat, which kind of made it a misnomer, right? Like, you wouldn't have, if you didn't see the start, you would think he didn't, but he did.
And then I think later on, who was he around? He was around Ferrandis, I think. He got by Ferrandis, and then next lap I saw he was, 5 seconds back of Ferrandis, 6 seconds back of Ferrandis, so I think he fell again. I'm not sure. I sent him a text.
Do we think that Anderson would have been able to hold off AP if he didn't fall?
No, I don't.
Okay.
AP was riding pretty good. He went after Chase a little bit.
Well.
Yeah.
I know Anderson was bummed, that he fell, and I think he felt like he could have, but I don't have a strong opinion either way.
At some point, wasn't AP, didn't like 2 laps in a row, he cut into Chase a little bit?
Yeah, he did 209s.
Yeah.
He had some really good laps in there.
So I did a thing on my column today, Malcolm Stewart, 6th overall. We have raced six rounds. So that is 24 motos for Ferrandis and Malcolm. And out of the 24 motos, 18 of them have been 6, 7, 8, or 9. Those two guys.
For both.
For both, yeah. So they've been perfectly in that spot where they're out of the top five, and then you kind of don't notice them, and then you look at, oh, look, there's Freddie Norin or Grant Harlan or somebody. Good job. And you just never look at them.
Yeah, that's actually – here's the shocking thing about that, because I did not realize the results were that similar, and here's why I did not, because those results are a massive disappointment for Dylan Ferrandis and actually really awesome – for Malcolm, like, I think a lot of people were worried, like, dude, what if Malcolm's getting, like, 15, 14 every weekend? Like, what if this is, especially when you realize he was not an outdoor specialist to start with. I didn't realize it had been 10 years since he raced a lot. I when you see Malcolm 6-7, I think that almost everybody watching, maybe not everybody says it because they don't want to insult them, but I think almost everybody's like, wow, that's better than I thought.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's been fine. Yeah. I wanted to make a mention of, like, sort of where they were in this group, right?
I know, but think about, does anybody have Ferrandis will be about the equal of Malcolm Stewart outdoors on their bingo card?
I didn't have that, I guess, but I wasn't as high on Ferrandis as other people were.
No, you were not, but I thought it was like Ferrandis, maybe on a privateer team, he's not quite at the level he was, but I don't think people are expecting to be. Mookie's, I guess, overachieved, and Ferrandis is underachieved. How about that?
Yeah, Casey Cochran told me after the day, I said, hey, how much do you talk to Craig and Malcolm about stuff or whatever? And he was like, well, I asked Malcolm about this track, and he said, about Southwick. He said, I asked Malcolm about Southwick, and he was like, I don't know, man, I haven't been here in 10 years. He's like, oh, yeah, I forgot. So, Malcolm's not a great help for Casey Cochran for tracks.
Yep.
I
wonder, and I hate to give you credit here on this Ferrandis thing, but it does sound like they're having a lot of issues and kind of their first year of doing this at this level. And maybe they will learn, but I don't know. Like, do they keep this going to take these lessons and use them?
In a year or three years,
5 years? Are they going to keep doing this? I don't know.
Where does Ferrandis go? I mean, he has to me, literally go back there. Again, there's no spots open. I don't know if David Aller wants to keep doing it, but I would assume so.
That's what I mean. Yeah, like, do they want to? I don't know. Is Ferrandis like, it wasn't great for me, it wasn't great for you. Oh, well. I don't know.
Yeah, he did get 5th in Moto 2, Ferrandis, so that's good. That was a season best for him. Or it might have tied Paula. Marchbanks, 7th, 7-8 on the day. Pretty good. Second race back. Good job for Marchbanks.
That is good.
How about Kyle Webster? He goes from, I don't know, 35th in Moto 1 up to 10th. And then second moto, he leads for a little bit and gets 9th. He had a bit of bike problem at the end. His header pipe fell off or got crushed or something. But Kyle Webster, JT, good job.
Absolutely ripping early in the moto. And Yariv, Yariv's a very emotional guy. Like, he wears every emotion on his sleeve, good, bad, and different. But I truly felt so happy for him in that moment. Because he's flying all over the world and teams all on different continents. And if you want to see the picture of somebody that's all in, that guy's all in, right? Say what you want, but there's, I don't think anybody can question his dedication to it. And to see success like that, to put something together for Webster, I really felt good for him in that moment. That was cool.
And Dean didn't get to race, crashed during the week, so Dean was there. So, you know, Webster was riding for the whole team type of deal. And, dude, like, I had him in fantasy. Like, opening laps of Moto One, just flying from way back. The guy's good. He's really good. Nice to see 762 fly gear out there. You know? Really brings a tear, it's a real tear jerper.
A jerper?
Yeah.
Tear jerper. His teammate, I know it's not 250 time in this show yet, but I did not realize this. So they had an Australian, a young Australian kid race the 250 class, but he was supposed to race the combine?
Oh, he did race.
And then because they only had then because they only had one moto, he decided, well, I'll just race Saturday also.
Yeah.
And he did good.
Yeah, he did not too bad. Good job for Kyle Webster. That's awesome. Great work. Talk about Ferrandis too. He got into our guy Phil in Moto One, and they were 39th and 40th by the time they got their bikes undone. And I don't know if you guys saw that, but Dylan got squirrely, went right into Phil. Phil landed on him, and their bikes were locked together. And Dylan was trying to take the bikes off and then just gave up and stood there. And then Phil got the bike off, and it took a long time because the bikes were just, like, melded together. And then after the race, Phil told me, typical French, letting the American guy do all the work. So, yeah, it's great.
That was just – there you go.
Yeah, yeah. So our guy Phil, not too happy with Dylan, but, you know, hey. What else? Harry Kulis, 9th overall. Good job, Harry Kulis. Yeah.
Harry Kulis.
Yes.
Oh. Hey, I thought it was laughable because Kulis was saying at the beginning of the year his goal was to make SMX, and I'm like, how is he going to do that racing, like, 5 nationals? But he's actually close now. He's, like, 2nd or something.
Really? So, Marchbanks.
Yeah, I was shocked. He's right in the battle.
Marchbanks did the math, and I'm not sure if I always rely on Marchbanks' math skills, but...
Or any rider?
Well, or any rider, sure, good point. But he said he has to go like 10-10 the rest of the way. Like, you know, obviously if he gets 7-7, that's, you know, gives him a bit of a break. But average score is 10-10 to get in. I don't know. Again, I didn't check this math. But, yeah. But Kulis is 77 points, you're right. And he is, geez, yeah. Pretty good. Because he's going to get Benny. He's going to get Adam. He's going
to
get Benny.
I was going to say, has anyone talked to Benny lately?
Benny's,
like, I know Benny had some serious complications with surgery, right?
Yeah, he's out the rest of the year.
He cannot race any motocross.
He is not racing, no.
So he's not going to make SMX then?
Nope. And AC won't. And
that changes it.
And that's about it. So you got 2 spots open. There's Chiz, he's coming along, Phil, Hari, Welton, Freeze probably won't be back out. Nichols is coming out at Millville. Oldenburg's done.
Marchbanks.
And Marchbanks, yeah.
That's a lot of guys.
Yeah. So good job for Hari Kulis. Christian Craig, 10th. 8-13 on the day. 8th is a good job for Christian, I think. Not so bad. Grant Harlan. Hardog got 2 good starts. Real steady. Not a lot of flash, JT, with Harlan.
No, but he was riding really well.
Yeah, he was.
Like, I think he had a breakthrough ride at High Point in the second moto. And Southwick, he just said the track kicked his ass, basically. Yeah. But he looks like he's back on form. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he's going to get 5th anytime soon, but he looks like the same guy that he was before that horrific crash in France last year.
Speaking of Phil, by the way, too, he told me after the race that in the first turn, Kulis didn't turn when he was supposed to turn or when Phil thought he was supposed to turn. So then Phil made sure on the line for the second moto, he talked to Kulis about the proper way to turn. And this gets me into thinking, didn't Phil also talk to a few people over the year at the starting line about what they're doing or what should happen, right?
Like he was lighting Casey Cochran up in Nashville.
Yeah, and
about
then
picking gates.
Yep, and then he also, I swear at Southwick, he went into somebody on our Pulp show about how he had to tell somebody, hey, man, make sure you turn right. Like, he's literally the old man at just complaining, going to the neighbors and yelling, you know, and just like, like just get this old man just yelling at everybody on the starting line.
To be fair, he did say it's like time to go. He's called his own shot and said it's time to go. So
yeah, I guess.
At least he's aware.
I just was like, who died and made Phil the starting line god? you know, of like what you should do on the line, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think he realizes that attitude is just like, yeah, I need to stop doing this.
Right.
So at least he's self-aware in that way,
I guess. Brock Tickle came back, Weege. Brock Tickle, first race in 4 years.
Well, it's his home race, born and raised in Michigan. I don't understand how that became like a thing. He's from North Carolina. But I thought it was good. I listened to his interview with you after the race. He didn't seem actually that stoked on it.
He didn't, right?
Is that the sense you got?
Yeah, that's the sense I got. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. It was interesting to hear that.
Okay, so not to talk shit on Grant Harlan, but is it because Grant Harlan beat him? And, like, even Phil always, when he drops back and he lets guys go, he always looks back and he's like, not that guy. Like, not that guy today. And then there's a level of rider that Phil won't let beat him, right?
Yep.
So
that's normal, I think, for lots of people.
Sure. Yeah. So is Tick like, hey, man, Grant Harlan beat me? And I mean, like, first of all, Grant Harlan wasn't even alive when Tickle last raced. But as a joke, but maybe that's why
he was in Hawaii at the time.
Yeah, exactly. He was cutting his teeth.
Or it might even just be, you know, he alluded to quite a bit. You know, I think we know from the inside that I think Tickle might actually be in better shape in a way than when he was racing. He's just become these guys. Some of them just go even nuts, even more crazy on the fitness because they don't have to like rest for races on weekends. So I do wonder if there's a chance that we're like. Yes. Just everybody just look at JT. So I do wonder if it was almost like the race shape to like, he's probably rides a lot as a test rider, feels good, feels fast. Then you get into a race and you're like, oh wow, man, I feel a lot different than I thought I would. I'm way more fish out of water than I thought I would. Racing is more different than I thought it would be. Maybe it's that kind of thing.
He was so far back in the first moto. I was like, did you crash or fall? He's like, no, I just got a bad start. I'm like, that's a really bad start. But he said he started next to the red plate holder and then Hunter, I think. Or no, Hunter and then Sexton, he said. Yeah. So he got pinched off and that was it for that. But he's going to do Bud's Creek. And by the way, JT, I don't know if you knew this, but 938, the number he ran, it was the first pro number for him. And then also, as he pointed out to me, 9 plus 3 plus 8 is 20, his old number.
Oh, wow. We're playing that game.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, okay. I was as shocked as anybody when he informed me of this. Welton 14th. Marshall is from Michigan, so he came from way back in Moto 1. 2017-14 for Welton, pretty good. Phil 15th. McElrath, I didn't really notice. 13-19 on the day. A-Rod's 14th. Good job, A-Rod. It was A-Rod sighting. He's alive. So 14th.
I hadn't even had a chance to see that. That's good.
Yeah, 14th is good for A-Rod.
That's really good.
It's been a while, for sure. I never got an answer from Lars on what happened to Oslin's bike in one of the motos. But
I think the way you phrase some of these questions might lend to that. The Tim Ritchie not texting you back, the Sexton not texting you back, Lars not texting you back.
No, Sexton's,
I think we're on to something here.
Sexton's supposed to call me.
Right. Well, same thing.
Cullen Park had a bike issue in one moto, so that was no good. Freddie Norton had a bad day. Worst day of the year. Did you guys see his crash in off the leap?
Did not.
Oh.
The remnants of
I just
bike.
Saw the aftermath. Yeah. Yeah, I saw the destroyed bike.
Yeah, he bounced right up. Good job for Freddie. It's pretty ugly. Just cased it. Speaking of the leap, too, Mark Finnis tried it in practice and came up about as short as one could possibly come, bounced up, no problem, and then just kept pinning it. Good job. Like, he
didn't even crash.
Didn't crash, dude. Just that's how bad he cased it. Like, he didn't hit the top and get sent over. He hit the face. I don't know how his ankles and wrists are, but yeah.
He rode really well, though.
He did.
Must be fine.
I saluted him for that, for the only guy trying it in practice on a 250. Good job. So Freddie had a bad day. Chiz crashed on the first lap off the leap. I don't think he tried to triple it. I don't know what happened. I don't know if his cataracts got in the way or what, but he just doubled it and then, like, launched it off the single and ate shit first lap. I was like, come on, Chiz.
What?
Yeah, dude, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Chiz these days. It's bad.
He had a decent South Wick.
Yeah, he did.
Better.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to Derek Kelly either. He was up there in one moto. I know that. All right. Anything else 450-wise? Red Bud? Jerry was 11th overall. Hurt his shoulder. He's probably done for the year. Tristan Lane got in as an alternate and then raced Gopher Dunes today up in Canada. So he got 38th in Moto 2, crashed or broke, and then went to Canada and raced today. I think he got third in a Moto.
Wow. That's cool.
And then we had Takuma Yokosawa.
Excuse me?
Takuma Yokosawa from Japan there. It's a new guy, right?
He was at Southwick also.
Oh, he was? Okay.
Yep.
Is he Honda like factory guy?
I don't know. I don't know much about him. I know he's at Southwick.
I saw a Honda box fan behind the Honda truck. I almost wonder if it was one of Lars' side gigs again, like Ausland, like a side gig, or if that was Ausland.
I know typically those Japanese OEMs are big supporters of those guys when they come over.
Yeah.
They kind of force them to roll out the red carpet. So.
Yeah, for sure. All right.
I got one other 450 thing. Okay. I got one other 450 thing.
Yep.
So last week I reported on the show that McElrath had one goal at Southwick, and that was not to get lapped, and he barely didn't get lapped,
yep.
And then he was 148 seconds behind, still riding while the podium was going
yes,
on.
Yes, yeah, he said that.
And then with that in mind, I could not believe it as I see Sexton jumping the leap on the last lap, and I'm like, oh, God, there's McElrath right in front of him. And then he lapped him in the rollers 100 feet before the finish. And I'm like, how is it possible? I think he knew it was over. I think he knew he wasn't going to hold them off. Point being, that is so wild to me. These are two different tracks, two different weeks, two different everything. I mean, Southwick is so small. Mm-hmm. Red Bud is so huge. And somehow it worked out where Sexton was almost exactly one lap faster than him 2 weeks in a row. Like, almost.
Well, think about
within a four-second variance.
Mm-hmm.
Think about this, though. That's three races in a row where the fastest times are around 2:10. So that would
So in the end... Big track, long track.
Yeah, it's kind of the same.
So he's... Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so he's 2 minutes and 9 or 11 seconds off of Sexton in a moto, basically, is what we have.
Right. Right. The
somewhere between 209 and 211 on a 210 track.
Yep.
So I was talking to Brayton during practice, and he said, how much would you need to jump the leap to try the leap? And obviously, with the way it is now... The run up, like 2024, like no chance, no way, not possible.
Oh, screwed up, you mean? The way it's screwed
yeah,
up?
Yeah, right, it's screwed up. The way Tim Ritchie screwed it up. But generally speaking, in a normal conditions or whatever. So I said, well, can I follow someone? And then he said, yes. And I said, $1,000. He said, no way. And then I'm like, well, but I said, everybody I talk to just says it's like third, wide open, no real skill. It's just a nice. He's like, yeah, you're right, but you're still not doing it. And then Nick Way came up. I asked Nick. He just laughed his ass off. And then I put it on Twitter. And then Chad right now offered me $1 million. So I think I'm going to gear up for this leap. He said
you would hurt yourself really bad trying it on that track yesterday.
Yeah, okay. Not yesterday's track, yeah. But yeah. Chad said, I'll pay $1 million. So look at me, everybody.
I believe if they – you didn't have to hit the corner – right? Like they
yeah.
take the berm out so it's a clear shot because there's like a big wall there kind of thing.
Yeah.
You could follow somebody and you had like a couple hours to work up to it.
Couple hours?
No, like I'm being serious. Like get the double, find the speed, like watch them do it, follow them as they triple and you double. Like seriously, like it's a big jump.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like if you get it wrong, something really bad's going to happen. But it's possible. The way it was yesterday, like the way it was framed in that tweet, no chance, man.
Well,
like I walked down there and did a report from down there, and I was like, this is like really, really high level to jump this thing right now. Like it's not not a easy jump.
No. And when we were talking, we didn't know that no one would jump it or, you know, very few people would jump it all day. It was early in practice right away. So, you know, we were assuming it was the normal style of leap. But, anyway, so good times.
I've jumped it years though where it was super easy. A specific example, 2002, for anybody who wants to go back and watch that race, it was a joke. Like on a 252 stroke, you could flat land it if you wanted to. Like you could jump 30 feet past it if you wanted to, no problem. So it's not always the same thing.
Yeah.
Just this year was a tough year.
Yeah, it's been different every year for sure. But
first of all, it's great to see JB there. That was a great Great question that he came up with. Excellent job, JB. Second of all, I'm kind of seeing, like, you know, you go to NBA games and they have, you know, during halftime, you know, they'll pull someone out of the crowd and see if they can hit, like, a half-court shot for money or a car or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that could just be something like this.
But if you miss the half-court shot, you don't go to the hospital.
Well, it's similar concept. A couple differences.
Couple.
But still, like, okay. You think this guy can jump this for $1 million? That'd be great entertainment.
Absolutely. And again, going back to what I was talking about, Kyle Webster was on the Pulp Show Monday, and I said, hey, man, what about the leap? And he's like, oh, I've been thinking about it nonstop. Like, he's like stressed out. And then I talked to him, and he's like, yeah, like, super easy once I did it once. And again, I'm not saying yesterday I'm doing that at all. Let's face it, I'm probably never doing this. But the point is so many guys have said, yes, super intimidating, but once you get the speed down, body English, bike language, all of that stuff, not really needed, you know? So,
yeah. The easy part about the way it was this weekend on a 450, it was basically as long as you got the turn really good, you just hit it wide open.
Yeah.
Right? So it's almost easier that way.
Yeah.
When you just know I have to get everything perfect and hit it pin versus trying to – some years you have to time it, which is not always as fun.
We'll work on this once we work on me outstarting Kiefer on the HRC Honda. We'll work all that into it, yeah. There's a lot of things going on, a lot of ins and outs.
Oh, Kiefer now?
I don't know. Yeah, at some point it turned into Kiefer.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Jet Lawrence.
Yeah, that too, but he broke his thumb.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do they have any other Lawrences? Is there another Lawrence they could use? Is there another one?
Hunter was the most vocal one about saying that I was high end or drunk. Hunter was more vocal. So
okay.
On the starting stuff?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's correct.
So
he's probably correct.
I just don't know why. I don't understand. Yeah. All right. Let's get into it. Fly Racing, flyracing.com, by the way, 25 years of fly. And they will unveil their 25 gear at Washougal. That should be exciting. Flyracing.com, the Formula helmet to the Evo gear, kinetic mesh, all of it, man. Great stuff. Got the boa on the back as well to tighten things up, and stretchy and vented and all of it. Check out flyracing.com for the gear and the Formula helmet and the Formula S helmet as well. It can save your life. Weed, you have one of these Formula S helmets, and I don't know if you have the app, if you've been playing with it at all, Weed, on the app and all that, but
No, of course not. Haven't used the app, but I did crash in the helmet.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Next time. Yeah, I thought I told you to do that. You should have asked JB, but JB was a witness.
Was that the one that Phil got on film?
No, this was 2 weeks ago.
Oh, 2 weeks ago. Okay.
It was that club 2 weeks ago.
All right, were you all right?
Next time you see JB, ask him.
Oh, boy. Okay. I can't even imagine. All right, and then thanks.
It was a turn track. I don't even understand how it happened.
Thanks to the folks at Renthal and Maxxis, of course. I talked about them off the top. Motorsport.com, OEM and aftermarket parts. Motorsport.com, they got the Motorsport whole shot out there. They got the Pulp MX Fantasy first to the finish line as well. Thank you to the folks at Motorsport.com. Order your online and parts there, OEM and aftermarket stuff. So whether it's Fly, whether it's Renthal, Maxxis, they've got it all. Go through the banner on Pulp MX to help us out. If you enjoy this review show, please support it if you can by doing that. Motorsport.com, great guys. And Onyx Maps as well, Weege.
Yeah, Onyx Maps has 500,000 miles mapped out, all sorts of trails, mountain bike trails, hiking trails. There's a hunting version of the app as well, and certainly dirt bike trails, side-by-side, Jeep, UTV, you name it. And they keep upgrading it all the time. Like, every time you look at it, they have more information, photos, tips on the difficulty and things like that, which you're not going to get on other map apps. So go to onxmaps.com or onx offroad in the app store. And I think I just figured out why I crashed at the club 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I'm like, how did I crash on a turn track? Like, I high-sided on a turn track. And I actually landed hands first. And ironically enough, I had sore thumbs on both hands. And now I'm realizing, I believe this is just a thumb epidemic. And it was like the hand of God just came down. And this is like a contagious virus within the motocross community, this thumb problem. I nearly was on the list.
Speaking of the thumb problem, yeah, my buddy Fernet, he was 12th in the points in 250 class in 96. 12th, crushing it, privateer. And
wait, AMA Nationals 250 class?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and then he hurt his thumb, and his thumb was bugging him. And then someone told him that everyone's jumping the leap, which no one was. JSR or somebody did. So he tried the leap in practice in 96 and then finished his thumb off, cased the shit out of it, and finished it off just like Cooper Webb, Tomac, and Jet Lawrence. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not going to jump the leap then.
No, no, but
I don't want to finish this off.
It really did his season
in. Wow, that's a true story?
It's a true story. He really did his season in. He was crushing it that year. So, all right. Wow. Let's get into 250s a little bit if we can. Oh, but the Combine, too, canceled after one moto. Drew Adams came from, I don't know, I heard 17 seconds back, and then some kid fell in the last turn, and Drew Adams won? Is that kind of how it went down?
That is correct.
Yeah, Landon Gordon had a huge lead, but it was kind of dwindling toward the end. These are 25 minutes in a lap motos, which Gordon is like a year or two, like, younger or just further, I don't know how you would say it. Adams is further along than Gordon, who I think is on a 250 this year for the first time ever. And he was getting tired, and then he tipped over into sand rollers and coughed up the lead.
And then Adams is young, too, so both these dudes are pretty young, right?
Gordon was like...
Just got on a big bike this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that 25 minutes on that track, he was barely hanging on, and then, but I mean, still should have won it, but kind of a bummer for sure.
What do we think about Cole Davies and his start debut? Did Bobby already fire him, or... What do you guys
think? Oh, my gosh. The amount of – you go on Twitter and it's a deluge of, has he been fired already? Like, everybody has this joke.
I know. Oh, sorry. Thought I was being funny. Guess
it's crazy. Everybody.
All right.
Or Bobby, did Bobby pull him over mid-moto to fire him?
Yeah.
There was a lot of that.
Right. Yeah, I bet. Hey, let's talk Deegan, first of all, when it comes to Red Bud. He has his worst race of the year, 2-6 on the day, crashes in the second moto. I mean, the flagging. So everybody's seen the video. It's out there. It's just – like, look, I don't have a great solution other than spending a lot of money at a dedicated flag guy, and flagging is really hard. I don't want to do it. I wouldn't do it. I did have some people tip me up on Twitter that flag in Supercross, and they still say, even after they get paid, you know, they spend a few hundred dollars out of their own money, but they love it. But, I mean, it's just, yeah, just it's year after year after year we see this stuff. He could have been really hurt there. That was bad. The AMA guy, they were waving a blue flag, which that's the AMA guys roam around the circuit and have blue flags, and they're in control of, you know, because they kind of know what's going on and who's who. But then the flagger just wasn't even riding. From what I can see, the flagger wasn't waving the yellow until the AMA guy grabbed it out of his hand. It's just horrific. Just like, I don't know,
yeah,
man.
Well, from what I saw, yeah. I've seen this happen a lot. Basically, the flagger's number one job is to be looking. It's not behind him, but it would be behind him as far as the way the racetrack goes, because anything in front of him, he can't really do anything about. You know what I mean?
Right.
So his entire focus should be on the backside of that jump, and he was not looking that way. So to me, that was where the miss was here. And, yeah, it's just one of those things. Like, it sounds easier than it probably is. I've never done it, so I'm not going to judge. But when I watch it back, he's not looking at the landing of the jump, which is where he should be looking at all times, mm-hmm. unless he is actually flagging.
No, I agree. And again, yeah, Weege, you've actually flagged, apparently. No one knows for sure.
Yeah, but... ahem. You have some experience on the line here, gentlemen.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like after someone did it spectacularly, I would have noticed.
A guy hit me up on Twitter, and again, not that this is gospel or truth or anything, but a guy hit me up on Twitter and said, they were yelling at him. It was like a minute. They said the guy was just staring, you know, at the bikes coming out.
I don't know if it was a minute. It wasn't a minute.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it was too long.
Right.
It was too long.
It's just, yeah, like, dude, shout out to Deeks for getting up right away and taking off.
Oh, my gosh. That could have been really bad.
Oh, could have been really bad. So, yeah, I mean, again, listen, it would take so much money. But we're there, man. We're there to me. We're a big time sport, and IndyCar's got it, and F1's got it, and NASCAR's got it. You know, you get a bunch of guys that are really good at flagging. You pay them enough money. You pay some travel. You don't need everybody.
F1 and NASCAR are so much bigger than
dude.
Our sport.
But I mean,
so much bigger.
Yes, but aren't we there? IndyCar.
I don't know.
IndyCar's not bigger. Or I would say.
I didn't say IndyCar. I'm just saying it's not my money. I understand your point. Your point's not wrong. I just don't know
It's like, dude, how much
there, yeah. Financially are we there? That's the whole thing. Well, I mean, I don't know. That's not for me to answer.
I would think we are. Okay. We just dumped millions of dollars into the purse. And, like, you don't need to fly the same people from California to Unadilla, but have a group of guys, East Coast, West Coast, you know, to save on I'm sure you can find enough guys. I met the gentleman who, Supercross-wise, organizes the Flaggers. I forget his name. Really nice guy. Really dedicated to it. Takes a lot of pride in it. I don't know, man. It's just, how many of these are we going to see? How many, right? So
yeah, it's a tough situation. There's no doubt about that.
And so. I wouldn't want to flag. I wouldn't want to do it. I'm not sitting, you know, like, it's not easy. You're
the
out there in
real
the sun.
Solution yeah. is to spend a ton of money. I agree with your point.
I mean, would the OEM start freaking out? Should they be? Are they? I don't know. I think I would be. I think if I was Dan Fahey and Bobby Reagan and these guys, I'd be like, hey, man, we're spending – like, there's stories of factory team managers telling riders, you can't use that goggle because you're just taking the money and the goggle sucks. And we need you to protect your eyes because we're paying you a lot of money, blah, blah, goggles are so important, blah, blah, blah. Same kind of rationale. Like, we're spending a lot of money here. But flip side is they're also sending their guys to Glen Helen on a Thursday. So
yeah, with no flaggers, no
right,
nothing.
Right. So I just contradicted myself. I don't know. But shout out to Deegs, though, for getting up 2-6 on the day. He lost 5 points. He's fine. Definitely not.
He didn't because of the penalty.
Oh,
Hymus got penalized 5 points. It's incredible.
That's
the exact same.
Yes.
Him, Hymus, and Vial ended up exactly the same.
Right. Deegs is fine. But very uncharacteristic day for him. Did you guys think he was going to get Master Pool? I did. I'm like, oh, he's waiting. He's going to get him. But
I did
first
think
moto,
was,
yes.
Honestly.
Yeah, first. I meant first moto. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was riding that well for him. I really didn't. I saw him making a lot of mistakes. He had a lot of like hesitation in his corners.
Yeah, he pushed the front one time. Yep.
Yeah. Just I would like to talk to him if I was his friend and he would actually be transparent, which I'm not, and I don't think he would. Why would he to me? But him talking to his dad, him talking to the team, I would bet you he said he didn't feel that great. Because when I was watching his riding, I didn't think he looked that great for how I'm used to watching him ride. Like, he didn't have that kind of charge and free look to him that he had weight at High Point, certain laps at Southwick. He didn't look like he could kind of just unleash it. He was charging at the end. It just visibly wasn't the same.
Nope. But yeah, it didn't really cost him. Oh, I have an update on Weege's crash. JT, are you ready?
Yes.
Brayton said, wow, it was a big one. Full high side and ejected off the bike. Brayton said it was also 2 minutes after he crashed in a corner battling lane. Not a great couple of laps from Brayton.
It's all true.
Not a great couple of laps.
I tried to take my kid out in a bowl turn, and I tried to cross over some ruts to get to him, and that didn't work. That
maybe
was the first
he's going to give Weege one of those Major League Baseball contracts where he's not allowed to ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to happen.
Yeah, the second one really could have been bad, and I still don't know what happened, except I'm just going to use the contagious thumb injury.
Thumb injuries.
That's all I can come up with.
All right. So
Deegan's day would have been fine, though. Here's what I'm disappointed. I don't know how we did not know about that on TV. Like, we don't always get it. You know, you're never going to get every crash live. So you can only, you know, there, in this case, it was Vial and Master Pool battling,
yep.
I think. And Deegan was 4 or 5 seconds behind. So we don't have Deegan on camera live. But almost always, and JT, you've experienced this, we hear someone's down or someone lost time, and then 2 or 3 minutes later, they're like, we found the clip from another camera, and then we show the replay. And we didn't have that, which is rare, but usually we at least know. Someone, I don't know if it's a spotter or someone, or somebody asked a mechanic, usually we at least know he fell, he tipped over, something happened. I don't understand how we were never alerted at all that Deegan, you know, the points leader had a spectacular crash, and that's why for the first time this year he didn't come through the pack.
Where was the spotter?
I don't know, but I don't want to blame it completely on the spotter. I don't know where the spotter is.
Well, okay, here's my point.
Yeah.
Sorry. The spotter is normally at Red Butt up in the announcer's tower where you can see everything, and I was up there and saw no spotter. So I don't know if there wasn't enough room, because it is kind of cramped in there, or where they put them. but that was a great spot to spot from in years past.
Yeah, but to keep in mind, the spotter, the spotter's job is to kind of see battles that are maybe two or three laps from materializing, and even if there was a spotter or wherever the spotter was, that might not be what they're watching. It might be like, okay, it's obvious that Hymus is in the lead. It's obvious that Vial and Masterpool are battling, and it's obvious that Deegan is also in it, so I'm going to go look elsewhere where no one else is looking. The spotter's job is to kind of look at the not obvious to alert us to things that are two or three laps away from materializing. So I don't know if the spotter would have been watching Deegan at that point.
I would be a great spotter.
But
I would be a great spotter.
I mean, you should try it, actually. But usually, I don't know how much time was left in the race. 10 minutes or something. Yeah. I just can't believe no one ever found out that, oh, it's because Deegan had a spectacular crash. That's why he didn't pass anyone at the end, like he's done in every other moto this year.
I haven't got to that part on the TV show, but yeah, if you guys miss it, like I'm not going to go on Vital or social media and complain about the TV broadcast like everybody does every week, no matter what, because, you know, Weege, you've outlined it perfect. It's really hard to, you know, follow 20 riders for 30 minutes everywhere, you know?
When you see Vial and Masterpool get through there, you think like that was the incident and we did get it. You don't realize that actually we're 6 seconds away from yet another thing. There's just no way to know that in advance. But like usually we get it with a second camera, or at least we're told, "Hey, Deegan went down."
Yeah, I mean Deegan's got a bad start in Moto 2, but even I'm with JT. Like that has not stopped him this year. Especially he won here last year. He didn't win a Moto, but he won here. So, yeah, he wasn't as good. Like, the bad start didn't, you know, hold him back because he's shown he can rip through these dudes.
Hey, JT, yeah, I got a little, just a question. I mean, Deegan is super gnarly and he's in shape and he's young. So I would imagine his recovery abilities are maybe the best in the game when you consider his age as well. But aren't there times where someone goes really deep at South Lake like he would have had to and you're just not feeling quite 100% by the next Saturday?
He didn't look tired to me. He just didn't look comfortable. I just, like, watching him really all day, all his riding, I don't know if it was a bike setting or him, he just didn't look like his normal self in the corners. Like, he had, like, a hitch most of the time. He was, like, kind of, like, standing the bike up in the rut. I don't know. I just didn't think, you know, so you don't have it every time. You know what I mean? Some days you just aren't your best self, and I think it was just one of those days for him. He just made a lot of mistakes. I'm not saying you're wrong with the theory of, you know, had to dig deep so many times in a row that it's not catching up. I just noticed he didn't have that same flair in his riding. Like, you weren't seeing, like, he had a couple moments, like, he scrubbed past Swole and things. It just was an off day. That's what I'm going to chalk it up to. It's just a little bit of an off day, which for him, an off day can be still really good.
Chance Hymus wins his first overall. 4-1 on the day. First moto, he led 9 laps, dropped back, and then rebounded nicely in moto 2 to win. Really did a great job. Dan Truman told me before the day, pick him for Pulp MX Fantasy first to the finish line. And I'm like, why? And Dan's like, we figured out some things. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, Dan. And then the dude pulls both hole shots and leads both first to the finish line. So, yeah, they were onto something there. Good job for Chance Hymus. He also, a couple weeks ago, I guess he activated an automatic renewal with his contract based on moto finishes. So he's re-signed with Honda recently, and he won his race. And he's second overall, JT, in the points, and he won this weekend. And life is good for Chance Hymus right now.
Yeah, he's really turned a corner. I was talking to several people this weekend about the contrast of Chance Hymus 2 years ago at the Combine here. Just horrific weekend.
Oh, really?
Then goes
was
to
it bad?
Yeah.
Oh.
Terrible. Then goes to Loretta's, maybe worse, like 8th kind of all week, you know, like nothing to really report.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think everybody, I know on our side, Fly Racing, we weren't like stressing, but we were like, man, he's like, this isn't, he's going to be on factory Honda. Like, it's going to have to be better than this. Right. And we had a lot of hopes tied to him. So like, we really want him to be better. And you just juxtapose that to now, man, he's really, really made it happen. So good for him, man.
Weege, no one, even Chris Hymus, would have said he'd be second in the points after 6 rounds. There's just no way.
No, I don't think so.
No.
I mean, ride well, you know, maybe even get a podium. You know what? I would say this. Is this crazy to say that him winning might have been easier to predict than second in points. Like, it's 250 class. Sometimes crazy things happen and a guy wins a race.
Well, and he led laps last year.
Every single moto.
Right, and he led laps last year.
So I almost feel like moto win or overall win might have been better odds than second in points. He's been good in every single moto all year.
Yeah, no, it's been great.
I mean, he's the real deal. Like, there's no, this isn't a fluke. This is, you know, like, he's figured it out. Whatever it was, he's figured it out.
Yeah, life's good for Chance Hymus right now. It's awesome. It's cool. So, Masterpool second. Weej, the floor is yours.
Oh, well, I've been mocked. I've been made fun of. I've been doubted. We able to top Hayden Deegan straight up, single-handedly. No problem in the first moto. No problem at all. Had him right where we wanted him the whole time. Was never in doubt. And second moto, yeah, we don't quite have the fitness that we need right now to do this, but I think it's clear. I think it's clear where we are. We are elite. We could have been winning two of the last three overall.
He was in position to win the overall. He was third. It was looking good. He just tired out. He admitted it. Also, another reason why Ty Masterpool and Justin Cooper are my hero. They admitted they got tired. I was talking to Mitch in the morning, and I said, I'm like, Masterpool. I'm like, you got to sign him. He goes, I know. And I go, so sign him. And he's like, but then I got six guys. And I'm like, I don't know, man. You got to figure it out. And he's like, what do I do? I'm like, I don't know. He's like, six is too many. So I don't know. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. But, like, Mitch is like, this was before the day, before he won the first moto. Mitch is just basically like, this is great, but I don't have room. But I got to do so. I don't know. So interesting story going forward. As we know, Pro Circuit is never healthy, has not been healthy for a while. So, but then if you hire a sixth guy, you need a sixth mechanic. You need six suspension sets. You know, you need all that shit. So I don't know. Stay tuned, you know? Yeah.
Well, I wonder.
And all that stuff too. Expenses. Yeah. That's huge. It's a huge deal for another guy.
What if they, like, I'm just throwing out theories here. Like, he left the HBI team on good terms. What if they're like, hey, Supercross, if you want to race it, go back to HBI. We'll float you some parts. We'll help you where we can. Come ride the test track. We'll help you where we can. And chances are I might need you outdoors again.
Or even in Supercross or whatever, yeah. I mean, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Like, I feel like this is a really cool story. And, you know, he's a title contender, some say. And they got to make it happen. Somebody's got to make it happen. Something's got to happen. So stay tuned. You know?
Yeah, yeah. If we had won two out of three overalls, that'd be a world hurt. Like, then there's no turning back.
Yeah.
You have to sign him.
Yeah, yeah. Joe Shimoda, 5-2. Second moto, rode really well. Hung in there right behind Hymus. And first moto, bad start. Worked his way to fifth. And, Joe Shimoda, third overall. That's two podiums in the last four motos for Joe. Just started a bit slow, though, JT. So,
yeah, it's weird. It's a weird thing. He couldn't kind of rock it out of the gates there the first couple of rounds, but he's really coming on.
Yep.
Tell me if you've heard this before.
There's a world where he gets second overall to Deegs, and then we're doing the Racer X preview shows, and we're like, oh, man, watch out.
Joe's coming in there.
I'm done. You will not hear that from me, but there's a world where he gets second in the points for sure, you know, and then we're talking about it, but we'll see.
He rides the same all the time.
Yep. No.
He rides the same all the time.
Tom Vial, 3-4, fourth overall. Boy, Vial between Southwick and this one, like, just say Vial wins Southwick and wins this one, and a lot more interesting, but couldn't get it done. Didn't get a good start in the second moto. He was back there with Deegan, I think. Yeah, he didn't come by for a while in second moto start. Kitchen, 6-3. So he basically admitted it after the race that his title hopes are over and he's just got to win races now. So, and getting on the podium in motos
will keep you out of trouble.
Yeah.
It will keep you out of trouble. Because I was wondering when the, hey, man, we're going to need you back in California call was coming. That's what I've been waiting for with Kitchen if it didn't get better soon.
Casey Cochran qualified well. He won the combine last year, qualified well, and then went 7-9 on the day. Yeah, there's something here with Cochran, I think, outdoors.
He's been better than I thought.
Yeah.
I didn't really have any expectation, but I was a little worried. Being 100% honest, I was a little worried, and he has exceeded my expectations, and I'm not really worried. I think he's riding really well.
Yeah. Ryder D, he fell in the first lap, came from outside the top 30 to 13th, and then second moto got 7th, got a great start in the second moto. And then he told me after the race that he's in Bakersfield now. Hanging out in Bakersfield.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
Let him go home, so to speak.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
Yeah.
And he did admit 25 minutes he got tired.
Yep. Yep.
It's coming back around. It's becoming a thing. People are admitting this.
It's a new thing now. Love it. Anstey mentioned he's just off the pace on social media, and he was kind of invisible at Redbud. 9-13. I mean, you'll take it, 9th overall, whatever, like, you know, but yeah, so far, Firepower Honda, better team. Discuss.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Yeah, Webster was good, and like I said, they took a kid from the combine.
Yeah.
And did he get points? Cannon, did he get points?
Yes, he got 4 points. He got 18th in the second moto.
Not bad for 24 hours before the race, not thinking you were even going to race it.
Yeah.
That's like not thinking you were at the level to be able to race it. That's not bad. And he was fastest in the B practice. As for Anstey, yes, I it was only this morning when I remember that Anstey was back racing.
Yeah.
That's how little I saw him.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wait, wasn't Anstey there? Like, I saw Anstey in the morning, and then I forgot all about him during the races.
Yep. Finnis, we mentioned that, 10th overall. I said, what does Phil get on you about at club? And he said he gets on him because Finnis wears cologne. So Phil doesn't like cologne on guys. So there we go.
Yeah, that's interesting. That was an interesting interview for sure.
He's not Braswell. He's not Caden Braswell, but he's an interesting guy to talk to.
He's so intense, man.
He is, yeah.
Like, it's like he really wants it bad. Steve, I don't know if you know this, but there was a high-key Lil Red Dog, Evan Ferry, Finnis rivalry for years amateurs. Did you know this?
Not aware of this, no.
Oh, no. Gnarly stuff.
Oh.
Ask I think Nate Dogg was around when... I think Finnis was part of KTM. Ask Nate Dogg. I think he would know all about it next time.
All right.
Next race.
Daxton Bennett got a good start in second moto, got 8th at a track he rode really well at last year. First moto, I had him in fantasy, so I was watching him. He came from way back to 16th. And Jet Reynolds, 15-11. Reynolds and Finnis, we all know their bikes jacked up second moto at Southwick. Club told us all about that. But, yeah, JT, both guys have been grinding away here. Pretty good.
Yeah, getting better, for sure.
Yeah.
No, they're. I think for Jet, anything is a huge step forward. It has just not been an easy run here.
He told me this is the longest he's been healthy. It's the longest he's been healthy.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah.
I believe that.
Yep.
And for Finnis, yeah, I don't – you know, he really didn't show us a lot at times. Some of the futures races, like he wasn't kind of doing it, but he's doing it now. Yep. Like I'm impressed. Pretty good.
Romano, I never noticed, to be honest, 12-14 on the day. Schwartz, 14-16. Jalik Swole had a mechanical in Moto 2. And Joey Savacci. Go ahead.
Sorry, guys.
No, go ahead.
How do we feel about Swole posting what he posted, like the comment? Like, I shouldn't say how do we feel. How do you think Triumph feels about a post like that?
Probably not great.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at, too. That's a tough look for your post, right?
Like, yeah, I almost died.
You're like, dude, you can't say that. You cannot say that.
Yep. I do wonder if they'll be switching ECU companies from people I talk to. So keep an eye on that. But okay. Swole had a DNF on his countershaft, got a rock in his countershaft and broke some teeth off last week. And then this week he has that ECU problem. And Savacci crashes out in Moto 1 at Redbud. So tough weekend for Triumph. You know, I was over there for a while talking to Osborne and Scuba. And, yeah, maybe I was the bad luck. It's one of the first times I went over there this year. So. Maybe it was me. What else? Jordan Smith crashed out in Moto 1, 10th in Moto 2, right? Pierce Brown crashed out in Moto 2, 10th in Moto 1. So And then
Evan, too many guys crash out a lot. We haven't noticed that over the years.
Yeah,
they crash out a lot.
Evan Ferry, points in both motos. You know that 20.
Oh man, that's awesome.
That 21st position playing points. I've always said it's great. I've always mentioned that.
Oh God!
It's, you know, if there's one thing I love, it's that you know, the 21st place plays 1 point now. So Evan Ferry used that to his advantage. 21-20 on the day. Qualified 23rd. Started top 20 both motos, so he's getting a little better.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that is. I was afraid he was going to be, like, out for the summer with some of these ailments that he had or illnesses at, like, round two.
Yeah. That Tom Guion guy was back from Southwick. They burned me in fantasy, 22-15. Thanks, Tom. Couldn't do that last week.
Well, his bike broke last week.
Whatever. Whatever. Okay. All right, what else? I mentioned Savachi having a bad day. Weesh, did you see Six Time there?
I never saw Six Time.
Me neither.
No,
I would have saw him in the tower.
And you were at Triumph. You'd figured he might have been over at Triumph, but you didn't see him either there.
I don't think he was there because our buddy Seth Rarick wants to meet Six Time. So I was going to set it up, but I never saw him all day. So
JT, this is all based on, as you know, it's been a hot topic, the riders admitting they get tired lately. You've been hearing about this?
Yeah.
So we did a re-raceable show from Millville 94 where they do an interview at Six Time, and they're like, what's it going to take to beat Mike LaRocco? And Six Time says, none of us can beat him. None of us are in good enough shape to run with him for 30 minutes, and he is, so we can't beat him. We're not in good enough shape. Straight up.
He goes,
the most straight up.
He goes, not my teammates, not the Cowie guys, or not the Suzuki guys. Like, he just full-on calls.
Yeah, not myself. He said that. It was just so unbelievably just rare to hear these words that now Seth has become an all-time Stanton fan, and he just wanted to find him this weekend to thank him for an interview from 30 years ago.
So, and JT, as you know, Six Time, he does have a habit of being that way. So,
yeah. He does.
But could you imagine, let's just say Jet Lawrence is right. Like, just this is happening last year. Jet's just dominating. And we go over to just pick a team. Go over
I think Anderson.
KTM,
go to Anderson. I think you say this to Anderson.
Yeah. And what's it going to take to beat Jet Lawrence? Well, none of us are in good enough shape, including myself. No one on any other team either. We've got nothing for him. We're not in good enough shape. Imagine a rider saying that in an interview now.
Right, exactly. Just the Vital MX just implodes. It just melts down. Just server goes offline, right? It'd be great. Love to see it.
At the end of his career, he got, like, turned into, like, an athlete, and he weighed, like, 130 pounds,
yeah.
And he was, like, fit.
He was vegetarian, too, right? He switched to a vegetarian diet, and then Spencer was training him like crazy, and yeah, so.
Yeah. People are probably hearing that. They're like, I thought Stanton was always in shape. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what he said. And that was a poor decision on his part to do that.
All right.
Hey, we're going to Millville. I got one question. Jeremy Martin? Anybody? Jeremy Martin? Anywhere? Hello?
No.
I mean, I'm sure he'll be there. I don't think he's racing dirt bikes there.
Like, will he be? Like, has there been Jeremy Martin sightings?
Well, to be fair, the PR said he's taking time off.
Yeah, he's not. He's not racing anytime soon.
No, I know, but I think we just.
No, I don't expect him to race, but I'm like, we just heard nothing.
The club guys did say in the PR he's taking time off. I mean, we all fully expect he's going to retire. Right? But they did say he's taking time off. Unlike, there has never been a release about Max Voland. Kawasaki has never put out a release that Max Voland, what he did or when he's coming back. This was the second week of Supercross.
Okay. That's fair. Or Blake Baggett has never retired.
Yeah, we don't even know about Baggett. Yeah, that's he's gone. Yeah, aliens got him.
We're still waiting.
All right, Red Bud, Fly
We're
Racing.
We're on to Millville.
Racer X Podcast, we're on to Millville. Best track on the circuit. Best track on the circuit.
Agreed.
Yep. All right. Brayton's trying to find some, if he's got video footage of Weege's crashes. We hope he does. So, all right. Anything else, Weege?
Nope. Off to Millville. You told one of the riders it's the best track of the year, didn't you? It was a guy, Cochran. I think you told Cochran.
Yeah. Yeah, because he had never been there.
So, yes. So then you're going to ask him after if this holds up?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I you know who thinks I'm crazy for that take is Osborne. Zacho says I'm insane. He puts Millville.
Yeah, Zach got some really strange takes.
He puts Millville, he said, fifth or sixth overall, like out of tracks.
Yeah, but that's so on brand.
Okay. Yeah, Zacho just is like, you're nuts. And I'm like, okay, like you can say Redbud. I get it. Everyone says Redbud, but you fifth or sixth? Really, Zacho?
Zach is awesome, but he's definitely – he marches to the beat of his own drum.
Look, Zacho is in deep, deep, deep negotiations to – be an ambassador for somebody. So
really?
Stay tuned.
Okay.
Yeah, deep, deep, right. Deep.
Deep, deep. Okay.
Yeah. So so he might be back doing some odd races or, you know, whatever ambassadors do. So. All right. We're on to Millville. Racer X, Fly Racing Racer X podcast. That is the Red Bud wrap-up. Weege, JT, thanks, boys.
See you guys.
See ya.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, Motorsport.com, and Kuba Links on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners.